All right, today we're going to be talking about gun control and why I'm against gun control. The first topic I'd like to bring up in gun control is the limiting of what they call assault rifles. So when they talk about an AR-15 or a semi-automatic rifle and they call it an AR, it doesn't stand for assault rifle. It stands for Armalite, like the original company that designed the firearm. So with that, first off, it's an overgeneralization of the firearm. And secondly, limiting your rights to a firearm is infringing upon your Second Amendment rights. So if they're going to limit the type of rifle and the amount of rounds you can carry, who knows what else they can restrict. It's a completely against your constitutional rights, and they may not just stop at taking away your arms. They could be taking away freedom of speech, freedom of religion, whatever they feel like. If they want to infringe upon one right, they can infringe upon many others. You have anything to add to that?
So with that being said, the whole point of the Second Amendment is to fight against government tyranny, a tyrannical government. And what does that mean? Like, unjust and unfair treatment towards the people. Like, let's say a president gets out of hand and points the military at us, assault, take away our guns. Let's say that. What are we supposed to do if we didn't have the Second Amendment or take away our right to bear arms or anything like that? We wouldn't have anything to defend ourselves to match military power. And the whole point of it was, again, to match military power and to equal their stance, what they have. And to take that away is basically taking away the whole right in itself to have our own means of defending ourselves or friends and family.
Right. The Second Amendment right's not just intended for home defense. It's meant to be for use against a tyrannical power. If both foreign and domestic, if the military was activated against the citizens, if it was an invading country, or if it was our own military and law enforcement that was put against the citizens. So what this means is, if they take away our semi-automatic rifles that are chambered in 223, 556, 762, 308, if they take away our large, powerful rifles that are semi-automatic, and we're just stuck with handguns and shotguns, that's not going to do anything against the military. We're going to be completely outgunned. If a foreign power invaded and they have AK-47s, which are semi and fully automatic, chambered in 7.62, a 9mm Glock isn't going to stand a chance against them. They're going to have an easy thing against us.
With that being said, you got to also realize the size of these rounds. 7.62 is a pretty large round. It's very heavy, requires a very big barrel to use. And with that being said, the AK is the most popular weapon in the world. Of course they're going to have these. Of course they're going to have these big, heavy rounds that will tear people apart. And if we can't match them, not only in their armor and their weaponry, basically we have no means of defending ourselves as people and individuals and as humans. So with that being said, the fact that as people that we should get our weapons taken away is totally ridiculous. And I don't really understand why people feel as though that they have the right to take away these things. The fact of the matter is that we need to match not only other people's under citizens' power, but also the military's.
So the next part I'm going to bring up of the infringement of your Second Amendment rights is basically the first modern mass shooting, which happened in Austin, Texas in 1966. There was a tower at the University of Austin, and a sniper was put in that tower. Not directly put in that tower, it was a civilian with a firearm that shot at the students of Austin, Texas, for 90 minutes. The police, who had reacted to the situation, were firing upon him, but they couldn't get enough firepower to pin down the shooter because it's in a small tower, and it's one person. But students went to their trucks and grabbed rifles and shot alongside the police, and it was enough fire to pin down the shooter and allow the police to take the shooter out. So what that's saying is, if we have a good law enforcement along with well-trained citizens who have firearms, it's a very good combo for anything, really. If there's a lot of shooters or if there's one shooter, no matter what the situation is, we will still have fire superiority if we can be working together with the same firearms or something even above theirs.
And with that being said, people believe that we should not have the ability to have these high capacity magazines or the rifles to surpass or equal the military's. And the fact is that Miles Green's have a good point of a very good stance that this could basically happen to anybody at any time, either being mugged by a gun or Again, being on your own campus, being shot at by a sniper in a tower. The fact is, these different situations are different, but the end result is still the same. The close encounter with death that you can't really do anything about if we didn't have these things. Now, you also got to think about the other side is, criminals won't hand over their guns. They'll keep them or get them illegally. And it will be us up to the civilians, the law-abiding citizens, to defend ourselves with basically nothing to match them in power. And the fact is that in these situations, we'll be powerless, and we will most likely get killed, robbed, everything like that. And without these weapons, we will not have security and safety in our own neighborhoods or in other neighborhoods in general.
And if you want to bring up, well, if nobody had guns, or if no citizens had guns, then there wouldn't be an issue. Well, there's still murders in countries where handguns are banned. In the United Kingdom, in 1997, a man shot 16 elementary students and then shot himself. And that was with a handgun, even where firearms are banned from citizens. So people are still going to be getting firearms, even if we ban them from the law-abiding citizens. So then at that point, not only is that a risk to the citizens and the health of our nation, that's also a risk to the students. It's a risk to everybody if no law-abiding citizen can carry a firearm. Along with the murder rate that continually goes up, even in the most places where the Democrats, who have been taking away the firearms, like in Chicago, and have been really forcing that gun control on the people, the murder rate soars compared to other states where people can actually protect themselves, because there's such a gap between the criminals who have the firearms and the people who can't have the firearms that the criminals are just killing everyone. But if you have firearms to protect yourself against criminals, you're less likely to get robbed if you have a firearm. Or if they know that there is a possibility that someone has a firearm, there's a less likely chance that someone's going to come up and rob you.
And let's go back to a point I made earlier about high-capacity magazines. So the definition of it is 10 to 15 rounds of ammunition. A basic 9mm Glock holds 8. You're telling me it is 2 rounds away from being a high-capacity magazine? That's pretty ridiculous. And the fact is that without these high-capacity magazines, it's not for multiple targets. It's for matching the military's power in those situations to not only suppress fire, but also to equal their power. And the fact is that during, let's say there's multiple assailants in a situation, we can use those rounds to, again, take them out. Now, Miles, do you feel as though we need 15 to 10 rounds?
I believe so, and I bring this point up because I cannot remember the name of the police officer, but there was a man who he had pulled over on a traffic stop who had a firearm and started shooting at him. The man had so much adrenaline through his system, the cop emptied all 3 of his magazines. He was completely dry. He had no more ammunition. And it was from a Glock with an extended mag, which I believe has between 12 and 15 rounds. Mm-hmm. And he completely emptied all 3 mags, and the man was still alive. So even with more capacity, what people are pushing towards is, it's for multiple targets. No, it's not. The amount of adrenaline that goes through someone's system when you start shooting at them, they can be alive for much longer. And if people try to talk about, oh, an AR is such a scary gun and it shoots such a big round, no, it doesn't. And a 223 or a 5.56, it's a 22 caliber round, which means it's 22. I can't remember how the size works in the rounds, but it's the same caliber as a 22 handgun. It's the same diameter of the round. So it's a small, fast-moving round that's meant to penetrate a target. It's meant to go through armor. And that's the most common type for ARs. But that's not going to stop someone if you dump under 10 rounds into someone. It's just going to go in and through them. It's not going to actually stop the person. It's not going to have knockdown power like a shotgun would. But at the same time, shotguns don't have any range. So if you have an AR-10 that's chambered in .308, that's a much bigger round with a lot more stopping power. But it doesn't travel as fast, but that'll hit the target a lot harder and take the threat down faster.
An important notion to make is the rounds that we are available to as citizens. We are into basic rounds, but we are not allowed to have sabots. We're allowed to have high caliber rounds, but we're not allowed to have armor piercing rounds. As in, like, let's say Full Metal Jacket, or what would you say?
Green tips.
And also we're allowed to have hollow point rounds, but those are made to sit and stay inside the assailant, not to have, quote, more stopping power, which really isn't a thing. Because if you shoot someone once, they may go down. If you shoot someone 10 times, they may not go down. It's the fact is, when it comes to an individual, our power to defend ourselves is really undermining, and we need to take into account the power behind the bullet, but also the power behind the person that is assailing you.
Correct. So if you have a much larger target with a lot more surface area compared to someone who's a lot smaller and a lot skinnier, if we're shooting at a large target with a lot of surface area, you're going to aim for center mass. Mm-hmm. But with a smaller, faster round, I believe the 223/556 NATO, that's the standard AR-15 round, travels at, I think, 2,800 feet per second. Now, that's extremely fast, but it's also extremely small in diameter. So it'll pass through a target, but it won't knock down a target, unlike a 308 that travels maybe a little bit above 2,000, but it's a lot bigger in diameter, so it'll kick them down a lot harder, and it'll keep the target down on the ground. It'll knock them down compared to something that's just going to pass through someone. Like if you had a smaller, skinnier knife, it's just going to pass through someone, make a lot of holes, and that person's still going to be alive. But if you had a thicker, larger knife or a forged knife that has a spin in the blade, it's going to create a lot more damage and a lot more surface area contact to where that person's either going to bleed out faster or it's going to knock them down a lot more.
Like I was saying earlier, example, stopping power. The ability to stop someone assaulting you. And the fact is that we don't have these rounds that we own that we can have or purchase do not have enough gunpowder in them to actually, you know, let's say knock someone down in one shot or maybe not even eight. It's a fact. The matter is that we don't. I think we should have a more open market and be able to buy or have our hands on these armor-piercing rounds, these sabots, things like that, to be able to defend ourselves even better. Now, the fact that people think that not only high-capacity magazines should be banned or not have at all, if we're not able to take down not even one person with these 5 to 3 round magazines is totally ridiculous. We can't even defend ourselves with that amount of rounds. And you gotta take into account the amount of times that you may miss or the times you may hit. It's the fact that even if you do hit all 3 or 4 of those rounds, they're not going down. They will still keep on getting up and getting after you. It's the fact that we cannot defend ourselves with these low caliber, low power rounds.
Yeah, like Abram said, if you have a low caliber, low power round with low capacity, you're going to be completely outgunned by the assailant or the government. And if anyone's shooting, like, the government is now switching to the SCAR-H, which is chambered in, is it 7.62 or 308?
No, it is a 308. It is a big ol' round.
Yeah. So the SCAR-H is basically replacing the M4, and it's chambered in 308. It's a much larger round. And the government's doing that. If you actually look at the fact of why the government's doing that, it's not only because it has longer range and more accurate range than a 223 would have, because the 223 is so small it could get affected by wind and it's very light. It has a lot more stopping power. If someone turns the corner, a terrorist, let's say, turns the corner and you start blasting with a 5.56, yeah, you're going to make a ton of holes and scare them, but is it going to put them down? No. I mean, maybe if you get a heart or a lung shot or a headshot on them, yeah, but you're aiming for center mass. You're aiming for their stomach. But if you have a 308 and someone turns the corner and you just let it eat, they're done.
One round is enough.
Yeah, one round from a 308 would be enough to put someone at least down on the ground. You're not going to try to get back up after taking a 308 to the chest. You're done.
Yeah, basically is, again, the stopping power that we have to us as civilians. And the fact is that the government has amazing stopping power. The rounds that they all have, that are all equipped with. And the fact is that the government has more power than us in this situation, or these situations, like a terrorist coming around a corner, or, like an example, another assailant doesn't necessarily have to be a terrorist, but just individuals coming around a corner to hurt you, cause bodily harm to you, can get up and get moving, unlike the military's power to where if you shoot them once, boom, they're done, they're out for the count, they cannot get up.
Yeah, so it's like, also if you look at police departments, they have these 9mm handguns, but some police departments have the 1911, which is chambered in 45 ACP. And if you look at the caliber of the rounds, 45 ACP is much larger than 9mm. And the reason a lot of police departments are switching over to that platform is because of the stopping power behind the round. If you're fighting someone and you go in there up close, yeah, you'll scare the hell out of them with a 9mm going through them. But if you have a 45, you're just going to absolutely knock the wind out of someone. You're just going to put them down on the ground because it's a much larger round. Now, not saying we need 50 caliber rounds to stop everyone. Like they're going to say that ARs can shoot 50 caliber rounds. No, they cannot.
No, they cannot. Not only is the barrel not reinforced enough, the pin is not heavy enough to cause that much of an explosion inside the round. If you didn't know, rounds themselves come with a brass casing, a cap, gunpowder, and a bullet, the thing that shoots out the end. It doesn't shoot the whole cap. And so basically, a hammer goes onto the bullet's end. If you see a little circle around the bottom, it hits that and it causes an explosion inside the bullet. And it sends the bullet out of the round, out of the barrel. That's what happens. That's what it does. And so the fact is that an AR-15 chambered in 50 government, which is a totally different round than 50 caliber, it's totally different, very small. It's closely related to 5.56 and the fact that in size, diameter, and everything, that it's close. So it's not a 50 caliber round. It's really not. Even though it says it is, if you compare it to the size, it's totally different. Anyway, what was I going to say? The fact is that the government has access to these weapons, then we don't. And you also gotta take into account the fact that not every ordinary civilian can have these giant armor-piercing weapons. Of course, that totally makes sense, the fact that we all can't have that. We need a special license. We need a certain tier of gun ownership license. So we don't have the availability like everyone thinks we do.
Yeah, and so if we look at there's a thing called an AR-1550 Beowulf. That's not saying it's chambered in 50 caliber rounds like a Beretta, a Barrett M92. It's not chambered in the same round with the massive tank-destroying round that is. It's the mix of a 7.62 and a 308. Mm-hmm. It's basically a neck-down 308, neck-down 308, but with a bigger projectile than a 7.62. So it has a lot more stopping power behind it. Behind that round, and it will travel a lot quicker than the 308, but it's not a 50 caliber round. A 50 caliber round coming out of a Barrett, like an M92 Barrett, or out of a 50 caliber machine gun is much, much larger. It's about 1 to 1.5 inches in length, and probably about a quarter to a half inch in diameter. It is a very large projectile coming out of that firearm. And that's meant to... It's not an anti-personnel rifle. It's an anti-vehicle rifle. It's meant to penetrate through armor plates, go through tanks, anything like that. It's meant to, get the crew inside of that. And I'm not saying we need to be owning explosive devices like grenade launchers and rocket launchers. That's not what I'm saying.
We still should have access to 44 millimeter grenade launchers that can be mounted on our guns because they can be loaded with, let's say, beanbag rounds, tear gas, things like that. We don't necessarily have to have the ability of these 44 millimeter rounds, but we still should have access to the things that could handle them.
Exactly. I'm not saying that we need massive ordnance rounds like some of the rocket launchers. I'm not saying we need that kind of stuff. But what I am saying is we need rifles that an everyday citizen can acquire with the right permits that will be able to take down a government force. And I'm not saying this is that I'm anti-government at all. But what I'm saying is that if someone's coming in as a law enforcement officer, coming to take your firearm and a shootout breaks out, you're going to be undergunned if you do not have the proper firearm to defend yourself.
Now back to the task at hand, what we were talking about earlier. Are we against gun control? Yes, but are we against owning massive weapons of war? No, we should not own those. The fact is that we should have the same exact power and availability of these weapons as the government. And the fact that some people think we shouldn't is totally ridiculous. And the fact that we need to defend ourselves as people and individuals comes down to what do we have available to us and where we can get these said things and the license that you could acquire to have these. I'm saying that we need to really focus on frequent mental health checkups with these gun owners. And that's basically it. We really just need to crack down on these gun owners themselves to make sure they are healthily minded. And again, most shooter assailants with weapons, with firearms, sorry, aren't documented. They are not their firearms. It's not under their name. They don't have these legally. So how are we supposed to, like, let's say, how is our government supposed to control these said unmarked firearms?
Yeah, you cannot put the citizens who are law-abiding citizens who legally own their firearms just to protect themselves, not to go out and do crazy stuff, in the same category as criminals who have firearms to kill people. It's completely absurd to put us all, it's a generalized statement, as gun owners. And it's very disrespectful to the gun owner community to be completely generalizing the fact that, oh, we're all going to go kill someone. No, we're not. That's not the goal of owning a firearm. It's just to protect yourself against a tyrannical government. Tyranny.
And yep. As people, no one should ever be objectified in the fact that we should be bunched up into groups as things that we own. Like, do I feel as though people who own a pan should always be a cook or something like that? No. Just like how someone owning a firearm should not be labeled a criminal. The fact is that we should not be labeled and bunched up into these groups of terrible, unhealthy, and just all around bad people. We are law-abiding Americans that love our country, love our families, and just want to defend ourselves.
All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Grinch, for listening to this podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and thank you.